served in Mexico for 45 years. We've supported them. Calvary Chapel supported them for 40 years. They work with Wycliffe Bible translators, bringing God's word to people who don't speak Spanish in Mexico, who speak tribal languages, and they've worked with local translators to translate God's word into their own language so it can be used in these churches, which is just incredible. They are all, I don't want to steal too much of your story, but they are almost to retire from their full-time ministry with Wycliffe Bible translators. They're still going to be working with them in some special roles, and they'll tell you about that. But it's just been a privilege for us to walk with them and support them for 40 years. And as they retire, they wanted to just share with us about their ministry that they've had. And it's just an encouragement to see what God has done through their ministry. So I'll turn it over to you guys. I'll also mention we put the love offering box out. So if you would like to make a donation to their ministry on your way out, that's what that's for. So thanks for being here.
Thank you. Thanks for having us. I see a lot of familiar faces. I'm old enough now that I can have an excuse not to remember your names, okay? That's one advantage of getting older anyway. I've also learned, you know, there's a perk for forgetting things, because forgetful people get more exercise. You have to keep going back for the thing you forgot, you know? Seriously, though, we are so grateful for your partnership with us over these many years, and we want to encourage you today. What God's been doing through your prayers and your gifts, they've encouraged us, and they've reached out to many people around the world, especially the work that we've been doing in Mexico and other places. And we want to share a lot of that with you today, if we can kind of do a summary for you. First, let me just give a real quick rundown. Bible translation, the work we do, is a necessary prerequisite to church planting in an unreached culture. Because without the Bible in the language of the people, new believers don't grow and churches don't last. This has been proven. So Bible translators go and live in an unreached culture. That's what we'll tell you about. And we learn their language. We help them figure out how to write it down. And then we train them to make God's word communicate to their way of thinking. It usually takes years. I got a slide for this. It usually takes years to earn their trust and discover those whom God has called to work with as mother tongue translators for their own people. And then many more years, depending on the Lord, to how best to render eternal truths into everyday speech. And that's where your prayers have really come in handy. While we're still learning the Tepehuan language, if I can get this to work, I had the opportunity to witness a native shaman pray for a sick child. The Tepehuan people of Durango, Mexico, live in a remote area of high mountains and deep valleys. Their traditional way of life is threatened by modernization, but their traditional worldview persists. It's a mixture of animism inherited from their sun-worshipping Aztec ancestors and saint veneration inherited from their colonial-era Spanish missionaries. During the years we lived with the Tepehuans to learn their language and begin to study and write it down, we observed this syncretistic form of religion in their daily rituals. You can see some symbols on that building there that reflect that. But one day I was given a front row seat when a friendly shaman invited me to his house and he said, "Bring your tape recorder. I want you to record a prayer for a sick child." Wow. I visited his hillside ranch before, and yes, that branch is as rickety as it, that bridge is as rickety as it looks. The kids enjoy going across. I didn't. But this time, instead of visiting in his house, he took me to a small shack beside his house, and he used a sacred pipe to send his prayers up toward heaven in the smoke, and he started to chant in a strange voice I didn't understand. He addressed a stick figure of a sick child while he prayed to his gods for mercy. He named every male and female form of natural and supernatural deities he could think of, and he begged them to forgive the sins of the children's parents, the sick child's parents, and spare the child's life. He promised that the parents would try harder to keep the customs in the future. What a sad prayer. After 25 minutes of repeating the same things over and over again, he put away his fetishes and he emerged as the jovial, friendly old man we knew. I left him that day thanking God for this unusual insight into their culture and for the long text in their language I could transcribe and analyze. Unfortunately, the child soon died of dysentery. And later my friend also died before I knew enough of his language to tell him how Jesus paid for all our sins. That was sad. Many years later, we were able to work with native Tepehuan Christians to translate the New Testament into their language, and these were happier days. In our early attempts to write the Tepehuan language resulted in several booklets featuring local customs and stories. There's a funny one there about a dog chasing a cow off. But translation turned out to be a very painstaking task. Helping them understand ancient biblical cultures and ways of thinking often puzzled them. Even the college student that helped me start the Tepehuan Dictionary found it hard to express such foreign concepts clearly in his language. While we struggled with this, the Tepehuan Church was born as a result of a cattle rustler coming to Christ. He's the guy in the dark glasses there. Coming to God in a prison, getting into a Bible study, and then returning to train his own people and share the good news of Jesus transforming lives. Three of his nephews felt God's call to translate with us the New Testament into Tepehuan. And boy, did they keep us busy. They identified our humble one, that's the native term that the Spanish priests had coined for Jesus Christ, as to be the God of the Bible, the one who gave himself for us. That's the one they worshiped. Their text, and then we typed it up on the computer and read it over carefully, that gave me the opportunity to disciple them verse by verse, chapter by chapter, through the entire New Testament. So they came out like Bible school students. Soon portions of God's word were ready to take out and read to the people to see if they communicated accurately and fluently. And I got to stop right here, because this guy, Melesio, I hadn't seen him for 10 years. We were driving here between Michigan and Buffalo. We were going through southern Ontario on a busy highway, and I got a phone call from him, jabbering in his language. I had to really reach back in my memory to talk to him. But he basically said, well, I'm up in Washington. I'm on a work contract. I'm going back to Mexico. I'm going to stop by and see you guys in Arizona. I said, oh, man, we're not there right now. We're up in Canada. We're up and going to New York and Rhode Island. And he said, what are you doing there for? We're going to thank the people that sent us to give you the Bible. And he said, well, you thank him for me too. Because we are so grateful to have God's word in a form we can understand. They've just grown by leaps and bounds as they translated God's word together. Later, video versions of Genesis and Luke were dubbed into Tepehuan, and they helped spread the gospel quickly throughout the region. People heard about the good-sounding word of God and wanted to get their own copies of even one book. Whole families were transformed by the power of God translated into terms they could understand. Then came the wonderful day when the whole New Testament was ready and dedicated and presented to the community. And partners from Rhode Island joined the celebration and contributed scripture banners. The one on top says, we are all one body in our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that beautiful? Since completing their work with us, God has used each of these three men to witness effectively to him in different areas of responsibility that God has called them to within their culture. Tepehuan students dressed patriotically and sang the national anthem in their own language. Others led the mountaintop assembly in rousing praise music, also in their own language. The head pastor reviewed the history of the translation project and praised God for giving them his word. The Tepehuan pastors even came forward, and I challenged them to preach the word clearly and accurately, and then I had the believers come and lay their hands on them, which is usually their verse, what they often do. The sale of books and audio recordings and videos went on all afternoon, and soon Tepehuans of all ages were encouraged to see their language being preserved and used to communicate the gospel. And those who spoke no other language, see that mother there holding her baby and reading the Bible? She speaks no other language, but now she can thank God that they can clearly understand how to grow to maturity in his love and in his grace. Praise God for your prayers that made this possible.
The Huichol area is located in the foothills of northwestern Mexico, and I don't think we're going to get any pictures here.
There you go. Honey, this one, right there.
All right.
There you go.
The Huichol area is located in the foothills of northwestern Mexico between the tourist cities of Mazatlan and Puerto Vallarta. The Huichols live scattered among scores of tiny villages. They're beautiful people who subsist on corn tortillas and beans, but the culture is riddled with spirit worship and alcoholism. They have a strong indigenous church planted by Wycliffe translators before us, and it continues to grow and multiply in spite of different forms of persecution. They received the New Testament in 1967. It's been reprinted 3 times and is sold out. But they wanted the Old Testament because it was the Bible that Jesus quoted. The Old Testament translation was funded by the Seed Company, a branch of Wycliffe that sponsors mother tongue translators under a strict time schedule. We provided each translator with a laptop computer. They worked in groups to translate different books using a computer program developed by Wycliffe for Bible translation. I began training the translators in 2007. They completed the first draft in 2012, and then revised and audio recorded all of it. We printed trial copies this last August. As Christians, we don't often read all of the Old Testament, but the scriptures in the Huichol language are impacting the personal lives of the native translators and in motivating them to spread the word to outlying areas of their people group, resulting in 30 to 40 new church plants and several Awana clubs for kids and many conversions and baptisms in the last few years, including 6 traditional native shamans who have believed in Christ. Manuel is a Huichol pastor and translator who travels to teach in remote areas. In the town of La Quemada, a Huichol shaman approached him and asked how much he would need to pay to become a Christian believer. Huichol shamans are highly respected and charge expensive fees. They have these magic healing rituals, but they charge a lot of money. So he was used to charging money for services, but he had trouble with drunkenness and abuse so that his wife ran away and took their child. He traveled from town to town looking for her. And when he found her, she suggested maybe they should talk to the Christians. So when he asked Manuel how much he would need to pay to become a Christian, Manuel said, "You don't need to pay anything because Jesus paid, but it will cost you everything." He and his family believed, and he burned his magic relics in a public display and then was baptized. Translator Venancio visited the shaman's brother, also a native healer. He shared this testimony with me. He said, I went to see a couple who live in Jesus Maria. He was a shaman. We spoke to them about salvation and repentance, and they gave themselves to the Lord. I shared with them Joel 2:21 in Huichol that says, don't be afraid, but be glad and rejoice, because the Lord will do great things. I thank God, he said, for the Huichol Old Testament, because when we take it to read to the people, they understand the words that they didn't understand. The shaman understood about God. When he had believed in Christ, he prayed, don't be afraid, be glad and rejoice, asking that God would take care of them. So he understood. Back to Manuel. Manuel lost his 21-year-old son to undiagnosed cancer just before one of our translation sessions. His son left a young wife and baby. The following week, Manuel's team translated the book of Job, and he said, in Job 42:10-17, I learned that Job, after losing everything he had, began to have wealth more than what he had lost. I learned that God restores what we have lost, spiritually and materially. If not today, it'll be when we're with him eternally. Roman, one of the other translators, wrote about the book of Job. When we read the book of Job, how the principal character lost everything that he had without having committed a fault, and his fight to understand why all of this was happening to him, we learned that we should experience life the way Job did, one day at a time, even if God doesn't respond. He says, we will continue believing like Job did, no matter what happens to us. Many things have happened to Roman since he started translating the Bible for his language. He was attacked by bandits and left for dead on the road. There was a bullet hole through the bill of his cap, but miraculously, the criminals didn't get his translation laptop. A few months later, the river near his town flooded, and the footbridge washed away. He was weak from dengue fever, but he needed to get to the translation workshop. He floated his computer across the river in a black garbage bag, but he almost drowned in the current. Finally, he reached the shore further downstream. He has continued to serve Christ, even though neighbors have tried to stop him through persecuting his children. Another translator is Eladio. He wrote this testimony, I'm very encouraged by the love of Christ because he saved me. I thank God also for those who have given offerings since the beginning to today for the Old Testament project. Because of this, I thank God because he is great. He makes everything work. He's everything for me. I can't write very well in Spanish because my brother-in-law prevented me from attending school when I accepted Christ at the age of 8. Recently, my brother-in-law saw me in town and invited me to visit to share God's story. We're thankful that Eladio has learned to forgive, and we pray that his brother-in-law will accept Christ. Emilia is the lady translator. She wrote a testimony about the book of Nahum. How often do we read that book? She says, I learned many things from the book of Nahum, chapter 1, 2-15, where it speaks of the Lord's destruction of the city of Nineveh. It says that the Lord is jealous for his people and vengeful with their enemies. God is great and powerful, because when in his word he says something, it happens according to his will. She continued to say, I liked verse 7 very much. The Lord is good, a refuge in times of trouble. He cares for those who trust in him. Then she says, I had difficulty in the mountains on a mission trip. We became lost on the trail. I wandered almost a whole day with a blind friend. I just trusted in God. He protected me. He was my refuge. We thank him nothing happened to us. Also, when I read this same book to those in different churches who don't know Spanish, they say how great God is, and now they understand it well. When I teach, I've used other translated books like Proverbs, Psalms, and more, so they understand what I'm teaching. In the mountains, there is much need, she says. Thank God that he has permitted us to translate his word into our language. And thanks so much that you have supported this project. We are so thankful to God. She meant you. All of us on the Huichol translation team, thank you for your partnership in Bible translation. That's transforming lives and allowing ethnic peoples to flourish in their communities through the languages that they value most.
Aren't you grateful that now you have new brothers and sisters in Christ?
Amen.
And someday we're going to stand before the Lord together with them and praise the Lord together. I'm doing Libby's part here instead of mine. Linguistic research is another area that's essential to Bible translation process. That's because language is the defining characteristic of human behavior that distinguishes us from other living creatures. And as you can see, this is the International Year of Indigenous Languages. Every language represents the identity of a group of people. What if somebody came in here and said, you can no longer speak English? How could you express yourself? See? That's what a lot of people feel around the world. They use their language to express their emotions, cultivate their relationships, maintain their cultural heritage. Speakers of indigenous languages often learn additional languages, such as the majority language of their country, like Spanish or French, but it doesn't change their identity, which is embedded in their mother tongue. Dr. Michel Quemonier is a good example. As a native speaker of a minority language in Cameroon, he is keenly aware of the depth of expression and emotional significance intrinsic in one's own language. Now, as the international director of SIL, he is also has a professional stake in helping lesser-known language communities preserve their unique means of expression in the face of increased globalization and multilingualism. But he also, as a Christian, dearly wants people to learn, have a chance to hear the gospel in a language they can clearly understand, a privilege he himself waited many years to experience. In other words, languages matter because people have dignity. And people have dignity because they're made in God's image, and he loves them. The problem is that many of these people don't yet know that God loves them because of a language barrier. But God has a plan to reach them. After all, he created languages, as recorded in Genesis chapter 11. He created the process of confusing the languages, that's what the Bible calls it, so that the people spoke all kinds of different languages and spread out all over the world, resulting in thousands of mutually unintelligible forms of speech today. There's over 7,000 languages spoken today. What's also going on, though, in this is the process of translating the gospel into all those languages, which God miraculously kickstarted at Pentecost after Jesus' resurrection, as recorded in Acts 2. Since then, believers have trusted the Holy Spirit, yeah, that's me, to help them learn to speak and analyze the languages well enough to help native speakers produce an accurate and fluent version of the Bible for their individual cultures. Several scriptures tell us that God wants his message to be heard in the languages of the people. Did you know that the first Bible translation happened back in the Old Testament? The first time the need arose was when the exiles returned to Jerusalem speaking Aramaic instead of Hebrew. And it says, Ezra the priest brought the book of the law before the assembly, which included the men and women, all the children old enough to understand, but they didn't understand Hebrew. So the Levites instructed the people in the law while everyone remained in their places. They read from the book of the law, and they clearly explained the meaning in Aramaic of what was being read in Hebrew. That's the first Bible translation. That was the first time the Bible was translated. Over the centuries, God led the Jews to assemble what we now know as the Old Testament and later translate it into Greek for the Greek-speaking Jews. That translation, called the Septuagint, is what's quoted in the New Testament. But at Pentecost, God didn't have the disciples speak in any of those major languages, Greek, Hebrew, or Aramaic, but in 15 other languages, because there were pilgrims in Jerusalem from all those places. It says right there. They were completely amazed. They said, these people are from Galilee, yet we hear them speaking in our native languages, and it lists where they all come from. Parthians and Medes and Elamites and places I can't pronounce. But notice what the last one is? Arabs. And we hear these people speaking in our own languages about the wonderful things God has done. Now, you wouldn't believe how much we prayed for that gift, and God said, no, you got to do it the hard way. But that's the purpose of translation, so that all people can praise God. We know from the book of Revelation that God wants every culture and language in his eternal kingdom, and it's going to happen because God's God, right? Revelation 5 says, you are worthy, O Lord, to take the seal and break it and open it, for you were slaughtered and your blood was ransomed for people from God from only New England, right? No. Only United States? No. It says for every tribe and language and people. In Revelation 7, it says, I saw a vast crowd standing before. That's why I said before, we're going to stand someday shoulder to shoulder with those Tepanwan and Wichol translators, and they're going to thank you for sending us to give them God's word. We're going to stand before the throne and the Lamb. That will be a great day. To date, at least some portion of Scripture is available in over 3,000 of the world's languages. But nearly 2,000 still need to hear God's word, and many are in danger of extinction, which is why mission organizations are asking God for wisdom to speed up the process so we can get the remaining translation program started sooner rather than later. To do that, we're going to need more qualified people to go to where the languages are spoken and live out the gospel among them till they understand it clearly enough to take it to the rest of their people. I'm showing you pictures of some of the people we've trained. That's why Libby and I spent the last several years of our career training people in Latin America to do what we do. We knew that there are now more Christians south of the equator than north of it, and they are the mission force of the future. We enjoyed challenging intelligent young Spanish speakers with the complexity of advanced linguistics and translation theory, and they ate it up. Now we get their prayer letters, and we pray for them. We also enjoyed training educated native speakers of indigenous languages to express God's eternal truths in their way of thinking and then checking their work. In addition, we trained many of them to make dictionaries in their languages to show the world how beautiful and intricately designed these languages are and how God's creative image is expressed in every sentence they speak. And you wouldn't believe how much they appreciate it. They say to me, we can't believe that somebody cares about our language that much. And we say, it's because God cares for you. Amen? Amen.
Well, just to close, there are many ways you could be involved in Bible translation. There's a website, wycliffe.org. That has videos and explanations of how you can have a part in what God's doing to spread his word around the world. One obvious way is to pray. For instance, you could pray for one of the 2,000 ethnic groups that still have no scripture in their language and see how God works to provide the translation team that's needed. Another way is to partner with a Bible translation team that's already working. We're retiring. You could find another couple or singles who are going to translate the Bible somewhere in the world. Another way is to serve yourself. As a volunteer, or an intern, or a full-time, maybe you could go down in the winter when it's too cold here and work in some hot place to help the Bible translators. One other way to further Bible translation is to help people from other countries know about Bible translation in their languages. You can show them the Scripture Earth website. This is a website that has all the Bible translations in the world on it. If you have a refugee here in your community, you can ask them what town they come from and look it up. And on that website, you can find the New Testament in their language. You can play it for them. Play Jesus speaking on their cell phones. So thanks so much for all you've been doing to further God's kingdom.